Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 7, The Sacrifice Performed by Daksha, Text Number 15. Yoso maya vidita tattva drisha sabhayam.
Yoso maya vidita tattva drisha sabhayam.
Shipto durukti vishikar pi jana ganayaya tanmam.
Shipto durukti
Arvak patantam arahatama nindaya pa.
Arvak patantam arahatama nindaya pa.
Trishyara draya sa bhagavan swa kirtena tushyat. Ya who asau that maya by me avidita tatva without knowing the actual fact risha by experience sabayam in the assembly Shiptaha was abused. Durukti, unkind words. Dishikai, by the arrows of. Vijanaya,
taking no notice of.
Tat,
that.
Mam,
me.
Arvak,
downward.
Patantam,
gliding down to
hell. Arhatama,
the most respectable.
Nindaya,
by defamation.
Apat,
saved.
Drishtya,
seeing.
Ardraya,
out of compassion.
Saha,
that.
Bhagavan,
your lordship.
Swakritena,
by your own mercy.
Tushet,
be
satisfied.
Translation
purport by His Divine Grace, A.C.
Bhaktivedanta Swami
Srila Prabhupada.
I did not know
your full glories.
For this reason,
I threw arrows of
sharp words at you
in the open assembly,
although you
did not take them
into account.
I was
going down to hell
because of my
disobedience to you,
who are the
most respectful
personality.
But you
took compassion upon
me
and saved me
by awarding punishment.
I request
that you be pleased
by your own mercy,
since I
cannot satisfy you
by my words.
Purport.
As usual,
a devotee in an
adverse condition
of life
accepts such a
condition to be the
mercy of the Lord.
Factually,
the insulting words
used by
Daksha
against
Lord Shiva
were enough
to have him thrown
perpetually into a
hellish life.
But
Lord Shiva,
being kind
toward him,
awarded him
punishment to
neutralize the
offense.
King
Daksha realized
this,
and feeling
obliged for Lord
Shiva's
magnanimous
behavior,
wanted to
show his gratitude.
Sometimes a
father punishes
his child.
When the
child has grown up
and comes to his
senses,
he understands
that the father's
punishment
was not
actually punishment,
but mercy.
Similarly,
Daksha appreciated
that the
punishment offered to
him by Lord
Shiva
was a manifestation
of Lord Shiva's
mercy.
That is
the symptom of a
person making
progress
on the path of
Krishna consciousness.
It is said
that the devotee in
Krishna consciousness
never
takes any miserable
condition of life
to be a condemnation
by the Supreme Personality of
Godhead. He accepts the miserable condition to be the grace of the Lord. He thinks I should have been punished or put into a more dangerous condition of life due to my past misdeeds, but the Lord has protected me. Thus I have received only a little punishment as a token execution of the law of karma. Thinking of his grace in that way, devotee always surrenders to the Supreme Personality of Godhead more and more seriously, is not disturbed by such so-called punishment. So the text again. I did not know your full glories. For this reason, I threw arrows of sharp words at you in the open assembly, although you did not take them into account. I was going down to hell because of my disobedience to you, or the most respectable personality. But you took compassion upon me and saved me by awarding punishment. I request that you be pleased by your own mercy, since I cannot satisfy you by my words. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shmivadi Paskya Jyade Sadharane. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is curious, what are the symptoms of a self-realized person? Therefore he asks, Stita Pragyasya Kabasha Samadhi Stasi Keshava Stita Di Kim Prabhasheta Kim Asita Prajeta Kim. What are the symptoms of a person who's in transcendence? How does he speak? How does he walk? And how does he sit? Or what is his language? Of course, Arjuna's questions are quite relevant. He only had a little time left before the battle began. He wasn't going to waste Krishna's time. So Krishna understood what Arjuna was referring to, and the first thing he said was, Prajahati idakaman sarvam parthamanogatan anmani vatmanatushta stita pragyasya tochate. One who gives up all material desires that arise out of mental concoction, and one mind finds self-satisfaction, the self alone, then one is said to be situated in transcendence. So it appears that Krishna was not exactly answering what we thought was Arjuna's question, but he's answering it on this subtle platform. Prajahati ida kama. Due to the influence of kama, or lust, we've generated different conceptions of life. Not exactly we've generated, the material nature is generated for us, according to our attachments in the material world, different conceptions of life. It's more or less, the material nature is the most expert virtual reality. It creates one virtual reality after another, and we have our part to play in which virtual reality we're situated under. It's not 100%. In the sense that there are many factors that go into what our perceptions are, our conceptions are. One factor is our past activities. Just like bees, they gather pollen from many different kinds of flowers. And then they come together in the hive, and they manufacture a certain kind of honey. So the honey is not arbitrary. The taste of the honey will be exactly according to the types of flowers that the bees gather the pollen from. Although one will not be able to distinguish each individual flower, but the combined flowers, after being made into honey, have a particular flavor. Similarly, our present situation is a combination of many different factors, many different activities we've done in the past. They combine together for our present experience, which is given to us through the gross and subtle material bodies. And at the same time, in the human form of life, we have the opportunity to transcend these conceptions of life or these material circumstances that we find ourselves under by adding Krishna consciousness to our present circumstances. According to the Bhagavatam, our free will is only that we can choose whether we're going to accept our present material circumstances and the material desires that go along with these circumstances that are being supplied to us by the material nature. Because whether we know it or not, desire is a subtle form of conditioning for the spirit soul. That when we accept the material desire, we become conditioned by it. We have independent desires, but as soon as we lock our desires into a material desire, then we actually get a material conception of life as a result of it. We have something called spiritual intelligence, but when we lock our minds, when we desire to fulfill material desires, then our spiritual intelligence is taken away and is covered by material intelligence. And by material intelligence, we get a false ego by which we misidentify ourselves with the gross and subtle material bodies, and therefore we think our goal in life is to act according to the particular material circumstances we're under to fulfill material desires. On the other hand, in the beginning, obviously, we're not seeing Krishna dancing before us. At least I'm not. Of course, he is dancing before us. We may not see him moving very much. So it is not that suddenly we're going to walk out of our material conception of life. But in the beginning we're offered an opportunity to add a spiritual conception of life to our present conceptions of life. That is to see things from different points of view. From our material conception of life, which practically everyone we meet will agree with, because everyone is saying the same, under the same types of illusion, or under material illusion, everyone agrees if you get money, then you're fortunate. If you lose the money, you're unfortunate. If you win the election, you're very fortunate. And if you lose the election, you're very unfortunate. But it has nothing to do with the material fortune and unfortune. Has nothing to do with actual spiritual consciousness. And without spiritual consciousness, everything is misfortune, ultimately. Just like I may win a race, a political race, I may become the Prime Minister of Australia. So is that fortunate? Would you think it was fortunate? You don't think it's fortunate. You're the only one who doesn't think it's fortunate. Why don't you think it's fortunate?
Too much work.
Too much work. How much work do you have?
Too much travel.
Too much travel. Is that the problem? So if you, the President of the United States, I think half the time he plays golf. So, is it fortunate or unfortunate? You won the race, you work so hard, you're making so much money, you're getting so much adoration, profit, and distinction. Isn't that fortunate?
It's Krishna mercy, Prabhu.
What's that?
It's Krishna mercy, pure devotion.
Yes. Well, do you think Donald Trump is in devotion? What about the Prime Minister of Australia?
He is either.
So is it fortunate or unfortunate? In what way is it fortunate? Obviously, there's so much honor that comes from it, so much prestige, so much influence and power. But what is unfortunate about it? Well, that A lot of people don't have any spiritual enlightenment. You don't.
False ego.
What's that?
False ego.
False ego, okay.
At the time of death, he's left with nothing.
He has quite a bit at the time of death.
No, but he leaves. He doesn't build with him.
But he takes a lot with him. Takes all the karma that he's gotten. He gets, I think, if his citizens are not devotees, then he gets 1/4 of the sinful reactions. Could you imagine, even if you were Melbourne, if you were the mayor of Melbourne, how many people are eating meat in Melbourne? There's a few vegetarians in Dang Street. Except for that, how many animals would the mayor be responsible for his citizens killing? What to speak of illicit sex, gambling, and intoxication. Anyone ever get intoxicated in Melbourne? Anyone not get intoxicated? So how much reactions do you have to take with you? So how unfortunate that you become responsible for such a vast number of people, and you get the results of a part of their sinful activity. What could be more unfortunate than that? There's no way you're going to get a human form of life in the next lifetime. On the other hand, what species of life Yamaraj is going to have to figure out for you? That remains to be seen. So how unfortunate. But everyone will think, oh, these people are very fortunate. If you become very beautiful and very wealthy and very learned, isn't that fortunate? But if it's not used for Krishna service, how unfortunate. Queen Kunti prays. Queen Kunti praying for? What's that? Yeah. Sripada shanti takshasvat tatra tatra jagat guru bhavata darshanam nyasyat apana bhavadarshanam. I wish that we can see these calamities. Visham hagne purushara darshanad asad sabaya vana krichita ridem ridem neka maharatas praso Pranyastrama trasma shama virastitaha virakshitaha. Bhima was fed poison. And they were put into a house, was put on fire in the attempt to kill them all. Obviously they must have been, if they were a little paranoid, that was probably on their, kept them alert. Because their relatives were always trying to kill them. I mean, we may not have very good relatives, but hopefully they're not trying to always kill us. And yet, they face one danger after another. If someone threw a nuclear bomb at you, you'd wonder, you know, is God asleep? Doesn't he know I'm his devotee? I've been chanting my rounds every day. What is he trying to prove? So, considering the difficulties that they faced, you'd expect they'd be a little bit disturbed by it. But no, Queen Kunti is saying that I wish that we could see these calamities again and again so we can see you again and again, because by seeing you, there'll be no more seeing a repeated birth and death. So we take our goal of life is remember Krishna at the time of death, then we have to practice that. It is not that we're going to live life, everything's going to be supplied to us as much as we want. We're going to have perfect health, we're going to have all the wealth, we're going to have all kinds of followers and all kinds of everything we desire, a good life. She'll be right. No worries. And at the time of death, when we're leaving our body, then there's the time to worry. And we'll be prepared to think about Krishna at the time of death. Although we haven't thought about him, because there's nothing to worry about throughout our whole life. But suddenly at the time of death, in the midst of all kinds of disturbance, The whole body is falling apart. Our minds are completely agitated. We're losing everything, including our body. And we're going to say, no worries. Take me, Krishna. No, even King Kulakshetra prays, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Adhyayva Me Vishitam Vishitum Urtarantam. That now that I'm leaving my body, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam. Just like the swan, he goes into the lotus flower and takes milk out of the lotus flower. Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Adhyayva Me Vishitu Manasar Hungs Rajahangsa. So just like the king of the swans, he puts his head into the lotus flower. So let my mind dip into the lotus, your lotus feet. And Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam. Let me leave my body this time. Now that my body is healthy and I can think of you without any difficulty, let me leave my body now. Because at the time of death, if I have to wait till then, and all the airs of the body become disturbed, then I may not be able to remember you. Therefore, when we're facing difficulty, if we remember Krishna, then that difficulty becomes a great source of at least practice of what we should do at the time of leaving this body. And the greater the difficulty, the greater our absorption in Krishna consciousness, then the much more likely it is that even at the time of death we'll be able to remember Krishna. So it is not that Krishna's mercy is simply giving us all kinds of obstacles. So therefore Krishna gives us practice. Naparishat priyam prapya no dvijat prapya priyam stira buddhya samudo brahmavid brahmani stitaha. Person is not disturbed when he attains something unpleasant, nor elated when he attains something pleasant. Generally speaking, we think it's a good day when we get what we want, and it's a bad day when we don't get what we want, or we lost something that we wanted. But actually may not be the case. The thing is, we practice losing things in this lifetime, then at the time of death, when we lost everything, then we won't be so disturbed. We'll take shelter of Krishna. Every real auspiciousness lies and how much we're happy to be with Krishna, so much happy that everything else is tuchava, or insignificant in comparison. So if we gain something, there's nothing really we gain, because ultimately everything belongs to Krishna. If Krishna gives us something, it's only meant for his service. We have nothing to gain here. And if we lose something, we haven't lost anything, because it never belonged to us. It always belongs to Krishna. So with that vision, one will not be disturbed if he so-called loses something, because we have nothing to lose. And if we gain something, there's nothing to be elated about, because we haven't really gained anything. Krishna is giving us something to utilize in his service. The Prayashat Priyam Prapya, No Dvijat Prapya Cha Priyam. Stira Buddhir. So this consciousness, this intelligence, is what we're trying to become fixed in. It's not going to happen overnight. When we lose our pencil, our favorite pencil, and we're complete anxiety, we can't even sleep at night dreaming of our pencil, then we have to practice adding Krishna. So that we remember it's Krishna's pencil. He took it away from me for some reason, so I could stop dreaming about this pencil. If we can't give up our attachment for a pencil, what to speak of other things in this lifetime, like a pen? And other things beyond the pen. Stira Buddha Samudo. So, One who is fixed in intelligence, as Sammuddha, will not become bewildered by illusion. As soon as there is attachment, calm, and crowed frustration, then there will certainly be delusion. And we're living in this delusion. In other words, we may not realize how much attachments we have. If Krishna revealed all the attachments we have, we'd become, you know, we couldn't get out of bed in the morning. Fearful, you know, what's happening to my pen, my 15 cents I left over there, and we become overwhelmed by our material attachments. So, but this sum total of all these material attachments have created our conceptions of life that we're living under. And therefore we have to get out of this illusion that anything here belongs to me, or that I can lose or gain anything in the material world, except for Krishna. I've lost Krishna, so I should lament I've lost consciousness of Krishna, and we should hanker to become Krishna conscious. Then we can actually gain something valuable. Sira Buddhira some Brahmavid, and then we can actually know what it would like to be like in consciousness of spiritual consciousness, Brahmanisthitaha, and actually situated consistently in spiritual happiness and awareness. By Asparshe Visakhtatma, Vindyatma Yatmini Yatsukam, Sabrahma Yoga Yuktatma, Sukham Akshayam Ashnute. Such a person is not attracted to external objects or sense gratification, but is always entranced, enjoying the pleasure from within. In this way, the self-realized souls and enjoy unlimited happiness because they concentrate on the Supreme. So such a personality was Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, his consciousness, when Daksha walked into the arena of sacrifice, was simply meditating upon Vishnu, remembering Krishna's pastimes with his devotees, situated in the spiritual platform of consciousness, overwhelmed with spiritual love and happiness. And therefore the words of Daksha did not at all disturb him, because he understood that Daksha was simply speaking out of illusion, had no idea what reality was. Unfortunately, later on, of course, Sati, to defend a great devotee like Lord Shiva, went to her father's house and became so disturbed by the blasphemy against Lord Shiva that she gave up her own body. And that impelled Lord Shiva to act on behalf of his dear wife and devotee, Sati, to protect her reputation and to stop further sinful activities of Daksha, to send Virabhadra to destroy the sacrifice. So that destruction of the sacrifice was actually auspicious for Daksha. Otherwise, without that, if he continued blaspheming Lord Shiva, continuing to neglect his dear daughter and not lament over the great injustice he had done to her, then he's sure to go sink lower and lower into the material existence. Sometimes we find that people are, unfortunate things happen to them, but actually if their lives are going in the wrong direction, that unfortunate thing is not so unfortunate, in the sense that if they were going to become a dog, and instead they became a cat, I don't know what the levels of evolution are, they became a monkey. A monkey is actually considered on a higher level, because they died seemingly prematurely and therefore didn't have time to live out their sinful activities completely and incur more sinful activities. And that was actually very auspicious that they died early, so that they didn't sink even lower into the evolutionary forms of life. So this good and bad in the material world is, we have to see it. It's good if people become Krishna conscious, and it's very bad if they don't become Krishna conscious. Of course, if they're pious, they'll have to get another body in this material world, but hopefully with another opportunity to become conscious of Krishna by good fortune. Otherwise, piety and piety, whatever. It's just a cycle of going up and down through the 8,400,000 species of life. Therefore, dukeshu vamanag manaksakeshu vigatasriha vita raga bayakroda stita dhyamuni uchite. One is not disturbed by the threefold miseries. So we should not think, oh, how is this that I'm in the threefold miseries right now? I'm a devotee. What could I possibly have done? I took initiation. I gave my sinful reaction to all my spiritual master. He should be suffering, not me. Maybe he's not bona fide. He looks quite happy. Why am I suffering? No, actually, if one is thinking like that, obviously he has not understood very much about Krishna consciousness. Krishna is giving some mercy, trying to wake us up, trying to make us aware. It's not that Krishna simply throws miseries at us. You know, Krishna wakes up one day and sees, oh, here's a happy devotee. Better give him a few tests so he can be miserable, so he can remember me at the time of life. Here, take a few miseries. It's not that Krishna is just arbitrarily giving us some miseries to suffer. But actually we deserve, due to our past activities, we deserve so much misery. But it is said that Krishna is just giving us a pinprick, while actually we deserve the electric chair. And the very direction we're getting the misery, if we look back, then we'll understand how my tendency for sense gratification, mental speculation, led me into this unfortunate position that I'm in now. We may not be able to perceive our karma through our different lives, but karma is manifested even in this lifetime many times by our tendency to do the wrong thing. And the wrong thing ultimately is we do things which are against scripture, and we do things which are, you know, completely negligent of the principles of devotional service, and we take it as completely normal. Actual normal would be to fix Krishna and his representatives within our heart and be in the spiritual world and simply being an instrument for Krishna and his devotees in spreading Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, forever. That's normal. Everything else, we're in a diseased condition of life to different degrees. Someone's disease may be terminal, someone else may have a slight cold, but if one does not take care of the cold, like Bharat Maharaj, he was almost on the perfectional stage, a little negligence, and he became a deer in his next lifetime. So one has to realize our present position, not to become infatuated by our position as being a devotee, thinking now I have a shield against karma. First of all, the karma hits my guru, and if he's not good enough, then I got the holy names and a few other things to protect me. First of all, we shouldn't think like that. We should understand our real business is somehow or another take the opportunity we have and fix our minds upon Krishna through the process of devotional service. Devotional service means we have to fix up the orders of our spiritual master coming into simple succession, take them as our life and soul, execute them for Krishna's satisfaction. Then the result is that we'll become Krishna conscious. And the result of Krishna consciousness is not necessarily that the miseries of material life will simply, our material circumstances will go away. There'll be no more material difficulty. It means that we won't be disturbed by these things because we'll be on a different level of consciousness. We'll be able to perceive Krishna and his associates, and that perception will gradually overwhelm all other perceptions. But in the meantime, when one is not on such an elevated platform, when it's still perceiving the miseries of material life, one should not give up following the orders of Krishna in this simple succession, executing devotional service under all circumstances, and the more one becomes expert at such an execution, then one will be able to see things properly, one will have expert discrimination, become expert at the execution of devotional service, and actually Krishna will be very pleased to remain with us in our consciousness. It is not that we're forcing Krishna to come, it's by our sincere devotional service that Krishna becomes pleased to remain with us in our consciousness, along with his associates. And by such remaining with us in our consciousness, then we won't be disturbed by any material circumstances. Either they're favorable or they're unfavorable. And even in the most unfavorable conditions, we'll be able to remain fixed in, or Krishna will remain with us because of our sincere desire to serve him and his devotees. Krishna alone remain with us if we develop a sincere desire to serve him and his devotees, not by any practice of memory. It's not that we're going to have a trick, memory, learn all these memory techniques, and therefore always remember Krishna and never forget him. Prabhupada gives the example of a parrot. You can get a parrot to chant 64 rounds a day. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Pali wants a Krishna. But the parrot, when it's chanting Hare Krishna, you go, Hare Krishna, it's going to forget Krishna under certain circumstances. So we want to, our main business is devotional service, executing sadhana bhakti, executing the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are pleased to remain with us during our execution of their service, then Krishna will also be pleased and his associates will be pleased to remain with us. And therefore, by executing such service in any circumstance, we'll be undisturbed by all our different favorable and unfavorable situations Krishna may put us under. Obviously, the most successful devotees spreading Krishna consciousness with Srila Prabhupada, he got so much followers, he got so much wealth, he got so much inspiration, he got so much praise, he got so many things. But even when he's put into seemingly great misery at the end of his physical presence on this planet, when he couldn't eat, he couldn't practically even move or do anything, still he was completely fixed in Krishna consciousness. And therefore he was undisturbed, because he wasn't really living in the material world, he was living with Krishna. And therefore we can see that by the fact that even practically to the last breath, he was trying to execute the mission of his spiritual master in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes?
Now, sure, that sounds like a challenge to be a devotee. So, why wouldn't a devotee feel intellectually challenged as a devotee to perform devotional service?
I'm intellectually challenged by the question.
Sometimes a devotee would say that they're not intellectually challenged here as a devotee.
They're not, yes, because they don't read Prabhupada's books. Therefore, they don't know what the challenge is. They think their challenge is to become famous, to become happy in the material world, to get everyone to love them, to get everyone to serve them. That's the challenge, they think. And if it's not happening here, they don't feel like they're being challenged, because there's nothing they can do to get everyone to love them, serve them, appreciate them, whatever else. So they feel they're not being challenged enough. They're not getting their degree here, they're not making any money, they're not getting ahead in life, so they're not being challenged. They're just being challenged to tolerate. So they don't know what the real challenge is. They don't know really what the real gain is. So therefore, if we don't know what the real gain is, we don't know what the real challenge is. And we can go outside and be challenged to make money, be challenged to get ahead in life, get a better position. If we can be challenged like that, at the end of life, we'll also be challenged. When the Yamadutas come and we'll try to fight them, that will be a real challenge. we won't be prepared for them. So the real challenge here, how to become humble, how to become tolerant, how to become obedient to the words of the spiritual masters coming into simple succession. How to perform devotional service so expertly with such discrimination that Krishna and his associates and our predecessor acharyas are pleased to guide us because we're taking shelter of them. Guide us towards becoming factually qualified that Krishna comes and wants to have our association. Anything else? Yes.
Right. You said that when we do something, we should understand that it was Krishna's property. That's why Krishna took it away. But in real
Well, I don't know if Krishna took it away because it's his property, but he has his reasons for taking it away. Well, you got it. Well, I want it back. It's mine.
In real life, when somebody takes up and we do something, we think that he or she has taken away from me or like, and we don't understand the real principle behind it. And we always think that why he took it away from me or like why he should have given it to me. How can we understand that?
How do we understand? By the process of devotional service. Tesham saratam yuktanam pajantam pratipurvakam yadami buddhiyogam tam yenam upiyantite. Well, first Krishna says, I'm God. So that's what we're trying to understand, that Krishna is actually who he says he is. And everyone else who serves Krishna is actually who they say they are. And then in order to understand that, machita machkata prana bodhi antash parashparam, we have to associate with the devotees and hear their realizations and put it into a practice with our prana, with our energies that Krishna is giving us. Put our consciousness into Krishna consciousness by utilizing our chitta and our prana in Krishna's service. Then the result is we'll experience a higher taste, satisfaction and spiritual happiness, and we'll become inclined to constantly engage in Krishna's service with enthusiasm. And the more we do that, the more Krishna will give us intelligence to make further progress in devotional service. And when he sees that we're sincere, we actually want his association more than anything else, then he'll please come and associate with us, put us in ecstasy, and our illusions will gradually be dissipated. So there's the process. It's throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam. We follow the process. Try to understand that Krishna is God and that we're his servants. Hear from the devotees. Serve their instructions. Become enthusiastic and steady. And then Krishna will give us more and more intelligence to become more and more steady and enthusiastic. And Krishna will be pleased with his associates to come and associate with us. Give us their association. Yes. Read Bhagavad Gita. See through the eyes of scripture. Of course, it's not someone has a hammer and they hit me on the head and I think, well, this is Krishna's mercy. We have to use our intelligence. It's also Krishna's body. We're supposed to protect it. It's not such a simple, you know, simple thing. Now I got the formula. Everything is Krishna's mercy. The car coming to hit me is Krishna's mercy. Hit me! We have to have some spiritual discrimination. You know, what does it mean? What is Krishna's mercy? And what is Krishna trying to tell me as super soul within my heart? How he wants me to utilize his body, his mind, his words, and his service to please him and his associates. That we have to understand. But in the midst of trying to, if we understand things properly, what Krishna wants us to do, and we're doing it and everything's not working the way we think it should, then we still, we go, you know, it it's continuously Krishna's in our heart, he'll guide us. But in the meantime, we tolerate, even if there's some setback. The Pandavas were put into the forest. They tolerated. They didn't give up their Krishna consciousness. They did what they had to do in the forest. They didn't think, oh, this is all Krishna's mercy. We're just going to stay in the forest. It was Krishna's arrangement. So therefore they accepted it. At the same time, they went on with their service to Krishna. So we think, we use our intelligence, we think what's the best arrangement to serve Krishna. We do the best we can to serve Krishna under whatever opportunities we have. And if things don't work out, we don't become discouraged. We understand that Krishna, this is Krishna's desire, but we keep on trying to serve Krishna under all circumstances. But we have discrimination, what's favorable and what's unfavorable for devotional service. All right, thank you very much. Grandeur Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Guru